So we're just quiet during this whole part. But we did.
Gotta let it play out.
Wait for the. Hey there! Welcome to Stuck in Beta. I am Greg.
Hey, Greg. I am Josh.
Hey,
we just got a notification.
Yeah,
we're live.
Oh no, we're not streaming. We remember we used to stream, and
we did.
We'd get, you know, one, two viewers. One time, someone got into our chat room looking for a couch. Remember?
That was the funniest thing.
I don't know why.
That was Facebook, right?
Yeah, at the time. Something like that. But why were there that many people interested in a couch?
I don't remember. It was free, I think.
Oh.
Free couch for sale.
But they wasn't
that the name of the episode?
They all got in the chat room looking for a couch.
Yeah, we were getting blown up. It was the strangest thing. We were like, why are we so popular all of a sudden?
There's about 25 people in here.
Yep.
They all talk about a couch.
But now we don't do this live anymore. It kept us accountable back then because we were always going live at 5 o'clock on Wednesday.
Live at 5, yeah.
Live at 5. But now we just... we have to figure out the best time that works for both of us.
Yeah.
Here we are. So this is Stuck in Beta.
Yeah, that's us. So what have you been up to?
Man, it has been so dang hot. Hot and humid. I'm so sick of the summertime.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm over it. As soon as it starts getting above like 85, I'm ready for it to be over. But, you know, now we're in a heat warning? Advisory? Whatever. For the next like week.
105.
Heat index.
Heat index. That's always fun.
Yeah. Sweaty. So anytime I try to do anything outside, I'm just covered in sweat just immediately. And it just sucks. So hopefully this is short lived and we're in the middle of August. And it's just how it is here in the Midwest and St. Louis area. And hopefully it'll drop down in September.
Yeah. We had my son's fifth birthday party. He had already turned 5 earlier, but we had a pool party, and man, it was hot there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you had left early, but it started pouring down rain.
Oh yeah,
so everyone had to get out of the pool. We were under the pavilion.
You don't want
to
get wet.
Oh no, you don't. Well, okay, thunder.
I know.
The lightning or whatever.
Yeah.
So we got into the. We were in the pavilion, and man, like, it dropped maybe about 20, 25 degrees.
Really?
It was feeling great.
Hmm.
Everyone's, oh, it's chilly now. I'm like,
yeah.
Are you serious? It's awesome now, you know?
Yeah, it's like 75, 80, somewhere in that range. That probably felt pretty good.
Oh, yeah. It didn't stay that way, but.
Yeah, and then it got humid and sticky and all that. So, yeah, that's what's going on in the weather around here. Shall we have a beer?
Sure. I don't have a beer 30 theme.
Oh.
I had one for our video. Hey, I think you release our video today for beer 30.
Did I think it's later this afternoon? But
okay,
that'll be our first one coming out, and hopefully it'll get a little attention. I did some editing with it and I think it turned out pretty well. So I want to set up beer 30 here real briefly because I thought this was kind of funny. Yesterday I reached out to our friend ChatGPT and asked the question about this segment. Because last time, whenever we talked, we were talking about how we are not that great at beer reviews.
No. I'm going to start pouring while...
Yeah, go ahead. And let me see if I can find it now. It's this one here. So the question that I asked ChatGPT was... that I said, I have a YouTube channel with a friend where we review beers. We're not very good at distinguishing all of the characteristics of the beers, but we have fun learning about them and the brewery. How can we make these videos interesting for viewers? And the reply was, if you and your friend aren't super tasters, those are in quotes, yet you can still make your beer review channel a lot of fun and worth watching because people don't just come for the beer notes. They come from personality, entertainment, and storytelling. Here are some ways to make your videos more interesting without pretending to be expert sommeliers. And it gave a lot of good advice. I mean, I think some of the stuff that we've done in the past, like trying to, like you just did, trying to change the video angle, make sure we see the pour, talk about the can, talk about the brewery and all that kind of stuff. But we'll try to keep learning from ChatGPT and make these as interesting as they could possibly be.
So the beer today, that's funny. We need to go through some of their tips, they say. We are trying another beer from Florida that I got. This is a Tampa Bay Beer Company. It's a hazy pale ale, a New England style hazy pale ale called Cloudy Donkey.
It's definitely cloudy.
Yeah.
So you visited this brewery, right?
No, I didn't get to visit this one.
Okay. I did a little bit of research on this one. So the name, so this is a variant of, I guess, the beer that they normally have, which is called Reef Donkey.
Oh, yeah.
And they have several variants that they release throughout the year.
I did, in order to, I got, yeah, I did see that. On this one. Yeah.
So the original Reef Donkey is their beer that comes from a slang term for the greater amberjack fish. These fish are known for their strength and stubbornness when caught, hence the name donkey, which is part of the name, and the reef part is likely refers to the fact that these fish are commonly found around reefs and shipwrecks.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely cloudy. Definitely hazy.
Now, tell us what we're supposed to do now.
So we're supposed to take the aroma. What does that smell like to you?
It smells, I would...
citrusy.
Like the Pine Sol cleaner. The lemon flavored or the lemon scented Pine Sol.
So they use Sabro hops. And I don't remember ever learning about or talking about Sabro hops before. Sabro. These hops are complex flavor profile. And this is kind of interesting. They are they're prominent for citrus, tropical fruit, and coconut notes. So this is, we're supposed to be able to get a coconut flavor out of this beer.
Okay.
And then they also have hints of cedar, mint, and cream. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
That is a lot.
So, let's see. What do you think? I only get citrus.
We got to do like a quick reaction too, right?
I get like a little bit of a woody flavor on the back end.
It's very creamy. It's almost like milk feel. Like
lactose.
It's very silky.
Yeah.
Which you don't always get from an IPA. IPA are a lot of times tongue scratchers.
Mm.
This is not. But it's still got that essence.
Yeah.
Maybe we're better than we thought.
Maybe you are.
I don't know.
I don't get any coconut flavor.
No.
If it's there, it's super subtle.
Well, have you ever had, recently, my daughter wanted a coconut from the store. She saw it. She's like, oh, I need this coconut. I need it. I go, I don't want to get a damn coconut. Have you ever had a coconut and experienced opening it and all that?
Yeah, and they don't really have much flavor, right?
No. So... raw coconut, this does have that flavor. It doesn't have the sweetened coconut that our toasted coconut.
Hmm.
So if they're talking about that, it does kind of have that flavor to it.
Okay. Interesting. I've only done that one time, and I just remember not really liking it.
It's an experience. I like the coconut water, coconut milk inside. I thought that was good, but... coconut itself is just, I don't know, not that tasty unless it's toasted and sweetened.
Yeah. I like it with chocolate.
There you go.
Did you read the description that the brewery gives?
No. I as you, need glasses on to read now. What the heck is it? Pillowy, soft, hazy, pale ale is quite different from its donkey siblings with a double dry hop process, and the addition of Sabro hops, you'll find big coconut flavors alongside the usual donkey family tropical notes.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm just not my palate isn't refined enough to pull out that coconut flavor.
I kind of get it. I think I would say it's a good beer though.
I like it. Yeah, I could. It's said
hazy IPAs are some of my favorite.
I think it said on their website that it's available in fall, winter, and spring. So they don't consider this to be their summer variant. It's more of like the rest of the seasons.
Oh, so this, when I found this, it should have been off the shelf by now.
I don't know.
Because I got I think I got this at Publix, mm-hmm. their supermarket down there.
Hmm. Yeah, I like it. It's good. I would give this one a B+.
B+? Yeah, I would agree. I think for a hazy IPA, it's got that smooth, silky feel that you can't normally get, but it's not the top of the game, but definitely not at the bottom. So
yeah.
Did I do good with the chat GPT?
So, I think you did.
I don't know.
What did you give it a B+ too?
Yeah, I'll say B+ too.
Okay. Well, what else have we got on the old agenda here, Greg?
We
both put our glasses back on. Let's get back to business.
I can't see. See, then I can't see our screen up there.
I know, it's blurry. We got to do the old man thing and have it down on the tip of our nose.
I need some bifocals, I guess.
So tell me about the McDonaldland meal that you picked up this week.
So I've got a video and so McDonald's has this new McDonaldland meal. It is, you can either get a quarter pounder with cheese or a 10-piece nugget. You get that with fries, and you get a Mount McDonaldland milkshake. And it also comes with an adult toy, I guess. I got the one I got right here.
When you say adult toy.
It's a... I'll open this up here if you can see. I got better video, but okay, Mayor McCheese. Let me just...
This is a tin, right? Like a metal
tin. It's a little
tin. Like a container.
Yeah. It's take a trip through McDonaldland. So they're bringing back the McDonaldland characters for this promotion. It comes in a box, too. You don't know what you get on the inside. Kind of. I got Mayor McCheese, and I got... You get like this little thing that gives you a discount for booking.com. So it is kind of old man. McDonaldland is so back sticker. I got here's Mayor McCheese sticker. Looks like the Happy Meal guys stickers, the drink, hamburger, and fries.
There's a lot of stuff in here.
Yeah, Mayor McCheese passport or McDonaldland passport with Mayor McCheese info. Mayor McCheese is my mayor. And then I got two postcards as well that McDonaldland postcards.
Hmm.
So if you grew up in the 80s, 90s, like you and I did, McDonaldland was still a thing. You know, it's not really a thing anymore, but... we even had birthday parties, and the one that I remember going to had a birthday room in the back,
mm-hmm.
and I went to several friends' birthday parties there, and that was a lot of fun. But this meal, okay, I got the quarter pounder with cheese one, which, you know, it is what it is. That and fries.
Nothing
special
about that.
We've all had that before.
Yeah.
But the box, got pictures of the box too. The box is all the art is McDonaldland. Like even the bag it came in is McDonaldland.
Hmm.
The shake. Okay, this shake, Mount McDonaldland shake. It's like a bright bluish shake with like this purple whipped cream. It tastes like sugar. I mean, you get hints of berry and I guess cotton candy flavoring. That's what I could pick out of it. And vanilla. I mean, it's like all combined, like every sweet flavor you could think of, it's all in there. And man, that, like, I didn't sleep very well that night. I swear.
Still coursing through your veins. Your body was
too much sugar for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I gave some to Peter, too, and he slept fine that night. But
of course.
There was lots of dyes in that, too, because I found out the next day in the bathroom.
Oh, my God. Is that the only option for a drink? Or could you get soda?
I'm sure you can get something else, but if it includes a shake, you're kind of downgrading by getting a soda. So
what's the price of the meal?
It was like, I think it was like $14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think that's what it... Now, the McDonald's app, I always have coupons, like, you know, 20% off or, you know, so I know it didn't cost that much for me, but it is kind of a higher priced.
Yeah.
I don't know if one was, I think one was cheaper than the other. I don't know if the 10-piece nugget was cheaper or not, but.
I haven't been, or I haven't gotten a quarter pounder in quite some time, but I would imagine that's probably the quarter pounder meal is half that price, right? Like $7 or something, somewhere in that range, $7 or $8.
I don't know offhand, but I got to tell you, it's sad. When we were in high school, I remember the $2.99.
Oh, yeah.
I think the top three were all $2.99, weren't they? The Big Mac meal, the cheeseburger meal, we went there a lot for before school and after school.
Yeah. What was the third one? Do you remember the third meal that was $2.99?
Wasn't it? I thought the quarter pounder meal was $2.99. Maybe it was.
Was it?
Or maybe McChicken meal. But I remember going to Six Flags, and they'd have a McDonald's at Six Flags, too. And
they jacked up the price.
Yeah, it'd be jacked up, but it's probably the same price we're paying now. $8.99 for the number one, which probably...
I mean, it's 30 years, 30-something years later.
Now, I've got, going into that, I got a segment to do late in a future episode about the prices from then versus now.
So after you told me the price, I don't know. So I was telling you before we started recording here that I was explaining to Lori what we were talking about and that you had tried this. And she said, she lit up. She said, I want to have that. I want that for lunch tomorrow.
Do you know she did? Or was that
this was today?
Oh,
she's talking about tomorrow. And I don't know. Number one, it's an awful lot of food, I think, for her.
Yeah.
And then second, I don't know if she wants to spend $14 for a meal. And then two meals at McDonald's, you're talking like $30.
I think the price is also higher because you're getting a shake instead of, you know, instead of a soda. So that's probably the reason, too.
Look at this. Both dogs have come to see me for some reason. I don't know.
Word. I'm here, too.
Did I use the magic word or something? Like, they're literally both in my lap right now.
You got dog treats in your pocket?
No, I don't. All right, guys. We're trying to work
go
here.
Go away. Come on now. So that's the McDonald's meal.
McDonald's update.
I love the whole old McDonald's vintage type McDonald's and all that. So cashews, almonds, macadamia nuts, lilac, pecans too, pistachio, lives up to know the tricks. All right. What do we have today? What did you bring?
We didn't have anything prepared prior to the show, but you had sent me some things and said, hey, maybe you can find this at Walmart on your way. Unfortunately, the thing you sent me, I couldn't find, but I'm not going to spoil that. Maybe we'll have that one in the future episode. So I was just kind of walking up and down the aisles trying to find something that had the word new on it, because that's what you...
New, limited edition.
Yeah. What I found were... I don't know if you've ever had these. This is the trolley... I guess, is that a brand or is that the name of the candy?
Trolley. I don't know.
So these are super electric crawlers. They're two flavors zapped together. And these are sour candy. This is something that I never, ever would purchase.
Really?
Had it not been for this show.
Oh.
So my kids, my two oldest kids, they like sour stuff a lot. I think we've talked about this before. They grew up on that stuff, and they're in their mid-20s now, and they They like the sour beers and
sour beers
seltzers
too,
and yeah, things like that. So let's try these guys. There's a couple different colors here. There's a pink and a purple. There's a blue and a yellow.
I'll grab a couple.
I'm afraid they're going to be super sour.
I don't know. I've had the regular ones before. These are electric, though.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, they're not that sour.
No.
That's not bad.
They're good. They kind of... What flavor is it? Does it have a flavor?
Yeah, on the back there. Can you read those?
Oh, jeez. Blueberry lemonade. I was just going to say, the blue one tasted like lemonade. Mango dragon fruit. And watermelon strawberry. Well, let me get one of the other two.
Ooh, that one.
So the lemonade was... Yeah, it was decent.
Yeah, a little more sour, I think, than the mango dragon fruit. So I haven't had the watermelon strawberry yet. Watermelon sugar?
Is a watermelon strawberry the...
That is the yellow and pink.
Oh, then I just had the mango. Yeah, that wasn't sour at all. It was good.
Yeah. I think the lemonade one is the most sour. These are actually better than I expected.
Yeah, these are all pretty good.
Yeah.
So
1 gram of protein. Hmm. Total sugar, 14 grams in 5 pieces. 5 pieces is your serving size.
Oh, jeez.
What'd I have? 3?
We've had all. So these are good. I would recommend them, but.
Yeah. But they're probably not good for you at our age.
I'm probably like your kids, though. I like the things like this. At the movie theater, they have the sour punch straws. But, well, remember, do you remember sour punch straws? They came in a big, long, like, plastic tray. And they're kind of like licorice, but they're all covered in sugar.
Oh, yes.
They're like strawberry, yes. But they're got, like, a sour taste to them.
Yep.
So that same brand has made, like, shorter ones. And shorter and fatter. And they all...
It's just like a piece of candy, like a rope, and it has...
Yeah, but they're little short pieces. There's like strawberry, watermelon, like blue raspberry.
Okay, and they're like in a bag like this or something? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I get those. Yeah. Those are up there with my favorite type of candy. Like that... Hmm. Have you ever had those nerd clusters with the gummies?
Yeah.
I love those. Those things are freaking amazing. And the Australian licorice. Which...
Australian licorice? I've never heard of that.
There's like... what is the one? Why? I can't think of the brand.
You really go all out at the movies.
No, I don't always get... No.
You're like, I need one of each.
No, usually that stuff comes in my pockets. Wiley Wallaby.
Oh, okay.
This stuff, I don't know if you can...
Yeah, it doesn't look familiar.
Anyway.
I'm not much of a candy, like, what do they call this stuff? Confections or whatever? What's the word for this kind of candy?
We always call it sugar candy versus the chocolate candy.
Yeah, I'm more of a chocolate candy kind of person. And you wanted to get back and talk about some... Coke magic cans from the 80s, right? Or early 90s?
All right. Let's take you back. The year is 1990, and we are heading... It's the summer of 1990. Coca-Cola is running this promotion, okay? They call it magic cans. As a kid, I was around... What would that be? I guess not... Let's just say I was really young.
Yeah, we were like junior high age.
Yeah. Seeing these commercials, so you have a can, they pop it open, dollar bill just or $100 bill or just pops out the top, like they show that happening to people all over this commercial. My little brain, I'm like, oh my gosh, what I could do with $100, that time. I don't think I had a Nintendo yet, and I was still wanting to get it $100. I'd get one right away.
Yep.
It actually was cash. They had like gift card, I guess like gift certificates and different merchandise coupons that came out too. But so in order for people not to be like, oh no, that's, you know, checking each can and checking the weight or whatever, they actually weighted it down with this. It was, they mixed it. It was like a chlorine liquid mixed with, like some foul smelling thing.
What?
It was supposed to prevent people from, you know, they go, oh, I'm not drinking that, you know.
Oh.
Well, of course, here's where it gets messy. Some 11-year-old kid in, was it Idaho? We got the dog barking in the background. Like old times. He drank the liquid inside.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess the can didn't open like it was supposed to,
it didn't
pop out. So
money up.
Just thought it was a regular can. Drank it
the whole thing.
I don't know if he drank the whole thing, but it doesn't really go into details on that. So we're just, of course, you know, they make a big fit, and they're afraid that their kid has been poisoned by this liquid or whatever. So they take it. Apparently, it's safe, but Coke decides that it's not worth it. We're going to cancel this whole promotion. It was like only a month into the whole thing. So that got urban legends going. You always, I heard when I was a kid that there was someone that drank it and it was, they got really sick and sued Coke, and now they don't have it anymore. There was all these different, you know, rumors about what really happened, you know.
Yep. Is that the rumor?
Yeah, that's
sound effect.
That's a rumor sound effect, of course. So they went a little different. They brought in New Kids on the Block. They may have been for the beginning of the promotion. Remember how big New Kids were?
Yep.
1990. I remember that may have been, I don't know if that was like their first tour or whatever, but I remember Six Flags. Them coming to Six Flags. That was like a huge deal.
Yeah.
They were the promoters for this whole thing.
Oh, okay.
And if you watch the commercials with them in it, it's, you know, they sing the magic in the real thing. That's a song that has been in my head forever. I'm not like a New Kids fan or anything like that. Well, closet one, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's just a crazy promotion. Like, I don't know if they could even attempt something like that. It seems like such a wacky promotion to actually put real cash in the can to begin with. But
so it sounds like the liquid surrounded the money, or the money was submerged in the liquid.
I think there was like there's probably like a pocket in there where the liquid was in there, but then there was also enough airspace for the cash and that to be. I
weird.
Think it had to have been separate. Well, I don't know, because if the kid drank the liquid, I don't.
Huh.
So on later commercials, Jordan Knight of NKOTB, you know, there's a voiceover on some of the commercials. There's an awkward public service announcement that said, if you have this winning, if you have a winning can, don't drink the liquid.
That's so weird. Yeah, there was a lot of those kind of those things back in the day, those promotions or whatever. But that is one of the stranger ones.
So that was Magic Cans.
Magic. I remember seeing that movie. What else we have?
Oh, I don't know. You're
I've been running, as I mentioned last week. I've never ran in my life. I'm doing pretty well. I haven't had any issues with my training. I've been incrementally increasing the amount of miles and or time each run. So I'm sticking to an every other day schedule. My 5K is next Saturday, a little over a week from now. And I've been kind of experimenting with what I've been listening to, and only on one occasion I tried to listen to a podcast, and I don't even remember what it was, but it was the worst run that I had. I actually didn't even finish that run.
It doesn't get you pumped up.
No.
Now, I've found, though, it does get your mind off what you're doing, but I don't think it helps any.
That's why I think I wanted to give it a try. I already didn't feel great that day, and I was trying to push through, and then I was listening to a podcast, and I'm like, this is not good. So I ended up cutting that workout or that session short. That's the only one that I've done poorly at. But in the meantime, I've been experimenting with just like new music or just random shuffle all of my playlists kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I started switching to in YouTube Music, you can select energy, like energy mix, and it'll just select whatever songs for you. And the last couple of times, probably like the last three runs that I've had, I've selected an energy mix that has like hair band music.
Hell yeah.
And man, that stuff is probably my favorite.
Really?
I feel like I have been doing the best runs. It gets me pumped. I don't know what it is. There's like certain songs that it's, you know, got the guitar riffs, you got the, you know, just like the continuous flow of the beat that's just like amped up a little bit more. And I feel like it's the best music to run to.
Really?
For me.
So that, that minute and a half or whatever guitar solo.
Yeah.
That's when you're really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're on a downhill or a nice long straight stretch that's fairly flat, man, you can really kind of get to that next gear a little bit.
That's pretty cool.
It pumps me up. So, with that being said, I thought it would be fun if we selected or talked about our top five hair bands. You and I, we didn't necessarily grow up in the hair band era. Well, I mean, we were kids, younger kids.
We were there, but I think I was more, at that time, I was probably listening to more pop music. Well, any of the hair bands that made it to the pop charts and stuff, yeah, I know them. But
yeah.
Our rock chart. But I know, for example, my brother, he'd bring home, this was beginning of CDs too. I would see all these CDs he had that I had no idea what they were.
One hit wonders, probably.
Enough's Enough, Hanoi Rocks, Bullet Boys, Dangerous Toys, LA Guns, Trickster, Kicks, which I thought was a cereal. But
all right, so let's go. Do you have yours in order by chance?
Somewhat. I'm trying to figure out
your number one?
Well, let's start with five, okay?
Yeah, I'll tell you my number five. So mine, there's going to be no surprises on this list whatsoever. I mean, these are bands that everybody should know. So my number one is Poison. Songs like Nothing But a Good Time and Unskinny Bop.
Yeah.
Those are great, man. Yeah. They really, like, those are good, fun songs to run to. So I'm luckily in the energy mix that I've listened to, there's no like ballads or anything like that, of course, because that wouldn't be.
Oh, every hair band had a ballad,
yeah,
too.
Multiple.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm. Who's your like top? If we
my number five, Skid Row.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah.
I thought, now, I don't know anything past their first album. With, I was about to name a Warrant song while I was thinking of the, but, I Remember You, 18 in Life,
yeah.
I Remember You.
Yep.
I Remember You is a ballad.
Yeah, ballad, yep. And the number four slot for me, Motley Crue.
I actually had Motley Crue as number four, too.
Really?
So I had Def Leppard as I didn't know if I was going to put. Def Leppard's one of those bands that I feel they all sound the same. And I had that at my number five, kind of tied. And I'm like, I think I like Skid Row a little better. But anyway.
Okay.
But yeah, Motley Crue, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, Looks That Kill. Girls. Any of those songs, they just,
I mean,
the guitar riffs.
Kickstart My Heart is like a drive fast song.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Run fast song,
run
too,
fast,
you know?
Yeah. And then this one, so I actually pulled up a list of top hair bands, and this band didn't fall into the category. But for me, maybe because they're kind of a quote unquote metal band, but Metallica is they had the hair. Maybe they didn't. I don't know what qualifies a hair band.
I could see them. It's kind of on the cusp, you know. It may just be met. I don't know. It's kind of on the cusp there.
Do you remember the song "Whiskey in the Jar"?
Yeah, the remake of the Bob Seger song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
that song I really jam.
Is that your number?
That's my number three.
My number three was Poison. Same reasons you had. Yeah.
So my next two, you may not be too happy with, but Van Halen is my number two.
They were definitely hair band, they embraced that in that era, but they weren't, they went back and forth because David Lee Roth and that era was definitely hair band.
Yeah. Like songs like Jump and Panama and Right Now. Those are all great. What's your number two?
Slaughter.
Oh my gosh.
They were like probably my favorite as a kid. That was like my favorite band. I don't even know why. I love the song "Up All Night." Up all night, sleep all day.
I'll have to give that a listen. I don't even know that I've heard much of their stuff at all.
They have, and now that I'm thinking about it, "Down Boys" by Warrant was a really cool song. But okay, but Slaughter, they had quite a few hits. I liked, and they were on the Bill and Ted Bogus Journey soundtrack too. So there you go.
My number one, you mentioned them earlier, is Def Leppard.
Really?
I just feel like they have just great energy. There's always like heavy beats on the drums, heavy riffs on the guitar. There's essentially like, I don't even know if they have a bass player. There's like nothing bass related. There's always like a drum.
Drummer has one arm.
There's always like a heavy drum beat and a solo, or like not a solo, but it's pronounced. And then there's always a guitar solo, and they're just always very energetic. So I love listening to Def Leppard.
You're a Def Leppard fan.
I am.
They barely made my list. They were going to do it, but they didn't. I put GNR as number one.
I should have known that would be your number one.
Appetite for Destruction, front to back, is the best hair album ever.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
And we're coming at it from, I guess, two different perspectives, where I'm looking at it from, like, what are bands that are very energetic and I can really get pumped up from? You're looking at it from, like, all-inclusive hair band.
You can get pumped up from any GNR song.
That's
Come
true.
On.
Oh, yeah. What was Welcome to the Jungle was
Mark McGuire's.
Yeah, that is cool. I had three honorable mentions.
Yeah.
As these are not bands. These are bands, of course, but I don't know enough of their stuff to be able to say that I would like to listen to more of it. But the song Turn Up the Radio by Autograph. That song is awesome. And then remember the band Rat?
Yeah, Round
song,
and Round.
Round and Round. Yeah, that's a good one. And then this is a cheesy song, and Lori hates this song, but the song Jet City Woman by Queensryche. I love that song. those are three songs when they come on. I'm like, yeah, I can find that next gear when I'm running, man. Those are good songs.
So I was I was naming those other bands earlier. A lot of those have one that my brother would, you know, Jeff would bring home all those different bands or whatever. You'd see Dangerous Toys or Faster Pussycat. And, you know, House of Pain is a really good song. But there are hair bands currently. Wigwam is a big one. Steel Panther.
Yeah. They're kind of a goofy band, though, right?
But I don't know. So, have you ever watched a series Peacemaker? Probably not. Uh-uh. It's a show on HBO Max. It's about the character Peacemaker. It's another comic book character. It's by James Gunn. So it's part of the DC universe or whatever. Season 2 comes out, I think, next week. the entire soundtrack is all hair metal,
okay,
hair band music. Mm-hmm. Like that's what, like, you'll see at points Peacemaker finds this girl he sleeps with. He before well, I don't want to spoil it or anything, but anyway, he has to leave there really fast, and he takes a bunch of her records. He's like, oh, she's got all these good vinyl records or whatever. And he gets home with this Firehouse record and plays the, what was it? Baby, don't treat me bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
They had a few songs, but yeah, it's all that type of music on that show. Hmm. And it works too. It works. You're like, it doesn't feel cheesy or anything. It just works. So
Steel Panther was on there?
Not on that. They have a lot of other, maybe upcoming or whatever, but there's a lot of bands on there that are newer bands. Even the theme song, it's a hair metal band, but I couldn't tell you the name of the band. It's a current band.
Yeah. Huh. I haven't heard of that one. But yeah, Steel Panther,
I think they're kind
imitating.
Of
imitating.
They're mocking it, but at the same time embracing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they're more embracing it, and some people think that they're really mocking it, but they're not really. They're really, you know.
I've watched a lot of their concerts. They get the women on stage.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else did we have on our agenda here? What did we not cover yet?
I don't know. You put a lot of stuff, and I did not.
I got my windows tinted in both of our cars yesterday. So this, mine and Lori's cars, her car, we had some hail damage last year. And when they had to replace one of these rear, they call it like a quarter window. It's basically like an SUV, and it has a little window in the back. And they had to replace it when it had hail damage, and they didn't get the tinted window. So we had to go get this tinted. And while I was getting that done, or while I was thinking about getting it done, I had learned that people had been starting to tint their front window. So like the driver's side window and the passenger side window.
I know some of that. Is that all legal and all that?
It is.
Yeah.
So those windows, and there's a certain percentage that can be legal. There's over a certain percentage, and then that is illegal.
Like the limo tint.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then anything on your front windshield is considered illegal, but people still do that.
Oh, I see it all the time.
Yeah. The place that I went, they're like, you want us to do anything to the front window, windshield? I'm like, no. But anyway, everything that the tint that they use, it reflects all UV light, and I can definitely tell the difference. It's very significant. Like you can get in one of our cars, and you can put a hand on the windshield and a hand on your door window, and you can really tell the difference.
Really,
it's pretty significant, and it just makes the ride a lot more comfortable because you don't have the sun.
Yeah.
Especially this time of year, like we talked about earlier in the show, it's so hot that, so it cools down. It doesn't heat up as much. I mean, of course, unless the sun's coming straight in from your windshield, and it cools down a lot faster and it stays cooler. So I'm super impressed. I would highly recommend that anybody do that. I'm happy. It's only been one day, but I'm really happy with it. And I don't know if it's the placebo effect, but if, definitely feels like I can tell the difference.
I know in our car, like you'll have the air blasting or whatever, and then, but it'll still, you'll feel the sun like beating down from the front windshield. So
yeah. And the guy that was running the place where I had it done, he was like, oh yeah, I tint my windshield. And I said, what is the legal limit on that? He's like, oh, no, it's completely illegal. And I was like, oh,
all of it?
Yeah. And I said, So then he said, yeah, but I've been pulled over for a speeding, and I got a speeding ticket. They didn't say anything about my windshield. So
I kind of think that most, is that something that, like, they even check or,
I don't know either.
I
don't know that I would like that because it does definitely make it darker in there.
Yeah.
Even during the day. So at night, I already have enough time, hard enough time seeing. I don't need to not be able to, I don't need to make it harder to see out my.
You don't want all the lights in there too and, you know, yeah. darken it all the way and then have lights yeah. that go with the music and
yeah, that
stuff
would be
like
great.
That.
No, I do not.
I think you should. I see you're canceling your Cardinal, why am I thinking Fuel? What the heck is the name?
FanDuel.
Fuel? You like, it should be called Fuel. I like to shorten the name.
First two letters of the first word. And
the Fuel Network.
Yeah. Yeah, the Cardinals suck, man. They were really doing well before the All-Star break. And we've been talking about this for years, the opportunity to buy a la carte just the Cardinal Network or the Baseball Network. Yeah. And be able to watch it. And so I tried it out. It's $20 a month, which is really high for just a standalone app. But I thought, you know, it's worth it to get the one thing that I am not able to get anywhere else unless you get a
right
a dish or cable package.
Yeah.
But the Cardinals suck now. They're they're down to 500. They since the All-Star break, they have to be below 500.
There's no way they're getting in the playoffs or anything.
No,
they're,
second they're, to last place.
They're we're actually going with Molly's family on Sunday. So
yeah.
I don't know.
We saw them at the peak of whenever we went to that last game. They were playing really well.
Yeah, and then it's like, we're done for the year.
That was I shouldn't say that was their peak. I think it's basically since the All-Star break.
We saw a winning game. Which,
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I'm canceling that. And then I guess other things that I'm watching instead of Cardinal baseball, because that was for a while they were winning, we were watching that quite a bit. We kind of binge watched The Bear. You watch that?
I have watched. So I'm nowhere near being caught up. It's one of those things. I got through the first two seasons, and I love it. But like season three came, and then now season four just came out. I don't know why I haven't gotten to them yet. I almost feel like, oh, I got to watch everything over so I remember and all that. And so, yeah.
We just finished season four last night. It's a very different style of show.
Yeah.
And it feels like they're continuously trying to find creative ways to do things different in that show. It's just not traditional of other, which I guess makes it so popular. It's just almost experimental, it feels like.
Yeah.
Every episode seems like it's a little different in the way that it's shot and the directive style. So I like it, but at the same time, it's too dramatic at times where you're like, this is, like, why does everything have to be so damn intense?
Yeah.
But I guess that makes for good TV. So yeah, if you have time and you're looking to catch up on The Bear, I mean, it's worth
watching. I like that show. I like the cast and all that.
It is a good, yeah, good.
Well, the one guy is on Fantastic Four. He's Thing.
Which one?
Is it the older brother? Not the cook, but like the owner or
the manager, like the front of house?
Yeah.
He's got the beard.
Brother of the main cook, the main character.
Cousin.
Cousin, that's right. Cousin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's got a weird, not a weird, but I mean, he's got a name that's not Evan American.
Moss something.
Yeah. Eben.
Eben.
E-B-O-N. Yeah. What have you been watching?
Man. I did watch more episodes of King of the Hill, and I got to say, it's a lot. I guess that first episode I didn't like so much.
Huh.
It was fine, but it was just kind of, But I've watched around three more episodes.
So you're about where I am.
And I've been enjoying it. The one about craft beer was really good.
That was the second one. Yeah.
So Hank decides that, you know, he's retired. What can I do? Oh, my two favorite things, beer and propane. You know? Which I'm like, yeah, that's funny. Uh-huh. And so when he made the beer and all his friends were like, Hank, this is better than Alamo or whatever. You're going to put him out of business. And Bobby and Joseph are both like, yeah, it tastes like deer urine or whatever. Like that. Or it goes, Alamo tastes like deer urine. It kind of reminded me of us, how we're like, people are like, oh, this Bud Light is so awesome, man. You know, but, you know, that's what we grew up drinking too. You know, grew up drinking.
Grew up. I cut my teeth on a
Bud Light. I cut my teeth on Bud Light.
That's funny.
But yeah, that was good. And I've been enjoying it a little more. I think once they got into more things, the first episode was more of just, hey, we're back. This is what we've been up to. And this is kind of an actual real episode. So.
Yep. I like it. I need to get back to it.
Other than that, we have had a decent podcast, right?
Yeah, been a good show. We had a good beer. We had a good snack. We
sleeping golden retriever.
Yep. We had a good top five list. Yeah, it's been a good conversation.
All right. I guess until next time.
Yeah.
Like we always do.
Got the outro. Remember when